Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
Hey, if you have your Bible, smartphones, tablets, and you want to take them and turn with me to the passage that was read, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. We are working our way through a series on 1 Peter, a summer tour through 1 Peter. And 1 Peter is all about how to live well in this world. About 25 years ago, I took a three-month sabbatical. Linda and I packed up what was our then three-year-old son and one-year-old daughter, and we loaded our trusty Windstar Ford van and drove to Vancouver. Yes, we drove to Vancouver with a one-year-old and a three-year-old. What were we thinking? I don't know. We rented a house and from a lovely couple from InterVarsity. They moved out and we moved in, and I attended Regent College for the month, and my family explored Vancouver. Over the month, that house, that place, it was our temporary residence. Now, we had to learn new things, right? First week, I put the garbage out. They didn't take it. I did it wrong, apparently. So, you know, you have to learn how to do it right. I learned the bus system, how to get from the house to school. Linda learned where the parks were, where the beaches were. We're temporary residents. Life is different living in someone else's house. I was playing catch with my three-year-old son, and we were whipping this Nerf thing around. It hit a photograph of theirs and tumbled off the shelf, and of course the glass broke, right? Well, you know, it wasn't an expensive picture frame, but if it was mine, I just would have went to IKEA, bought another picture frame, and that's fine, but it's not mine, right? So I went to a glass store and had them cut out the glass for the exact picture frame, because, you know, it's temporary residence, it's not mine, I'm just passing through here. You do things differently when it's a temporary residence. We enjoyed our time in Vancouver, but it was never really home. We look forward to a time when we would get back to our own space. If you can imagine the idea of being a temporary resident, then you can start to get a handle on what Peter's trying to say today. In fact, here's how the New Living Translation translates verse 17. It says, "And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favors. He'll judge or reward you according to what you do, so you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time here as temporary residents." Live as temporary residents. Well, there's so much packed into this passage that we're going to look at today, and I'm going to be running through it quickly, and I'm sorry for that, but if you can keep in your mind we are temporary residents here, it'll help you to hang on to what Peter is trying to say. How to live well in this world where it's not really your home. Here's our reality as Christians. This world, for us, is temporary. Compared to eternity, it's like spending a month in Vancouver. In the big scheme of things, it's not much time. Now, Peter was writing to Christians in the Roman Empire. Some of the people there, the letters are directed to, are slaves. Life was hard. Some faced or could be facing persecution. Life was scary. These Christians were an unwanted minority sect in a territory that was hostile to Christians. But you know, it may have been easier for them to see themselves as temporary residents than it is for some of you. You know, we live in a land where we have freedom of worship. We live in a town that is both beautiful and somewhat prosperous. For many of us, life is good. If you're there, it may be harder to see that you are temporary residents or to live that way. But you still are, and it's important that you do. I know that life isn't easy for some of you. I know for many of you, your prayer is Maranatha, even so, Lord, come quickly. But whether life is good or challenging, you are a temporary resident. And that is how we are called to live. Let's take a look at verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus is revealed at his coming. In the temporary residence of this world, we are to be alert and to be sober. The word sober not only carries the connotation that not to be drunk, but it carries with it the idea of not being overwhelmed by emotions. If I could put it in the language of our day, it would probably be, don't get caught up in the drama of this world. Be fully alert. Use your minds. Then it goes on to say, set your hope on grace. Set your hope on the fact that as the people of God, as followers of Jesus, you have God's favor. Set your hope on that. And so when he comes at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether he comes, you know, and you're living on earth, or whether you've died and you've gone to be with him, when he comes, you'll experience the hope that you've set yourself, set your heart upon. You've experienced the grace of God, his undeserved favor towards you. None of us are promised tomorrow, but we're called to live in light of eternity. Verse 14, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires that you had when you lived in ignorance. How else to live as temporary residents? Don't conform to evil desires. It doesn't say that you won't have evil desires. Did you catch that? It says, don't live them out. Then he goes on to say, and this is a key verse, but just verse 15, and just as he who called you is holy, be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. We've sung today about the holiness of God. You know that God is holy. You heard Isaiah's vision where the angels encircled the throne of God and they're saying day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And God is saying, okay, I want you to be holy as I am holy. Well, usually when we talk about being holy, we talk about it as being an inner state. God changes our heart, and that's reflected in our actions. That is the primary idea of Christian holiness throughout the New Testament. But here Peter doesn't deny that. It's true. But he puts an emphasis on our conduct. Notice what it says. It says, be holy in all you do. Now, the meaning of holiness is to be set apart. God is holy because he is other than what he has created. So for you to be holy is to be set apart for God's use. That's the idea of holiness. I have a mug at home, coffee mug, and I use that mug to have coffee almost every morning. It is my mug. Nobody uses my mug. Except for me. It was given to me by one of my kids, and it is set apart for my exclusive use. That Linda doesn't drink coffee. But anyways, that's a... When Peter says, be holy in all you do, he's saying that, well, you are God's mug. You're his coffee mug. You're set apart for his use only. You are set apart for his purposes. You don't conform to your old evil desires because you're now God's. And your life is lived for him. It's used by him. And so whether you're resting or working, whether you're watching television or cutting the grass, whether you are alone or with people, Whether you are engaging in your hobbies or with your friends, your life is lived for Him. For God, you are God's. Verse 17. So since you call on a Father who judges each person impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. He's talking about how Christians will be judged when we get home. As Christians, God is our Father. However this judgment turns out, God is our Father. He is, and you will be welcomed in heaven. But He doesn't play favorites with His kids. He's impartial. He likes you just as much as He likes me. And He will judge us impartially. Paul tells us a little bit about that judgment in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says this: For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or costly stones, wood, hay, or stubble, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. That's the day that Peter was talking about. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though as one escaping through the flames. Paul's saying here that there is a way of living that is only of temporary value. Paul calls that wood, hay, stubble. Or to put it another way, you're not being God's coffee mug. You're not set aside for God's exclusive use. Everybody, everything, including yourself, uses you for what you want. Paul's also saying that there is a way of living that is of eternal value. He calls that gold, silver, precious jewels. Only God uses your mug. Now, people who don't know the ways of God are tempted to look at this passage and they say, well, that's nice for you, Brent, because you're a pastor. You spend your time doing spiritual things. Like, those verses are nice for you. That's the way you think. You don't understand the ways of God. You're thinking, I must be able to rack up the gold just because, hey, well, I'm a pastor. And people like plumbers or carpenters, well, you know, their job is just made of wood. Everything they build is temporary. Most things will be gone in 100 years. So they're not racking up gold, are they? But that isn't the way it works. Be holy in all you do, was the passage, right? Be God's mug in all you do. Or to put it how Paul puts it, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all to the glory of God. Jesus said that there's a spiritual value in giving a cup of water in His name. That's not pastoral duties. That's Christians. Jesus said, if you give it with the right motive, you're storing up for yourself treasure in heaven. See, if a carpenter is working for the glory of God, he's racking up eternal gold. If he's working us onto the Lord, he's building a structure that will last in eternity. And you know, a minister can build with wood, hay, and stubble if they're working for themselves. Whatever you do, do unto the Lord. What Peter is saying is that God's going to judge you. And He's going to judge you impartially. He's not going to play favorites. And that judgment is not, it's not, will I get into heaven or not? If Jesus is in you, you're going to go to heaven. That's settled, right? If you're a Christian, you're on your way to heaven. What this judgment is that It's a judgment as to whether or not what your reward will be in heaven. He will test your works. Wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious jewels. What's built for eternity will last. Do we know what those rewards look like in heaven? Not really. We have some metaphors that we're giving crowns and we're going to cast those crowns before the Lord and all those kind of things, but do we really know what they look like? Not really. But here's what you know about God, right? God is good and God is generous. And so he's going to reward you well for what you do. So here's how we live as temporary residents then, verse 17. So since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. We live in reverent fear. The Bible does not mean that we are to be afraid of God, but we're living in a way that respects God. His opinion of us matters. His opinion of what we do matters. Why do you live in reverent fear? Verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. You live in reverent fear because you were purchased by God. Christian, you became God's mug not by near things like gold and money. You were purchased with the currency of the blood of Christ. Jesus gave his very life to redeem you, is what it says, to buy you back. He purchased you from the kingdom of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of light. He paid the debt for your sin. He gave you his life. His death on the cross gave you everything that you needed to take you from being under the domain of Satan and being brought into the kingdom of God. So why should you fear God? Why should you respect God? Why should you care about what God thinks about you? Well, he bought you with something far more precious than money. He paid a high price for you, the blood of Jesus. Peter goes on to say in verse 21, you through him, through Jesus, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Through Jesus, you've been put your faith and hope in God. You've reached out to God because of what Jesus has done, and God has made you his very own. Jesus gave you access to God the Father, and without Jesus, you wouldn't have known God. So let me sum it up for you. You're a temporary resident, a foreigner in this world. So be holy in all you do. Be set apart for God's use. You're God's mug. Don't let anything or anybody else claim ownership of that mug. You're God's. Whatever you do, word or deed, do it all to the glory of God. You're going to be judged by that criterion. You'll be rewarded for being exclusively God's. But if you try to conform to the evil desires of this world, or you live in a self-serving way, it's wood, hay, and stubble. And in the end, it's not going to matter. The reason why it matters is because God spent so much to purchase you and your salvation. Understanding that you are God's and he does, how does one live as a temporary resident? Well, he goes on to say, verse 22, now that you have been purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. Purifying yourself by obeying the truth, that's another way that the Bible has of saying you put your faith in Christ. One of the signs that you've put your faith in Christ is that you have a sincere love for other followers of Jesus. Now, Peter says, okay, you have that. I've seen that in you. You have this brotherly, sisterly love for the people of God. Awesome. Now he goes on to say, love one another deeply. The first word for sincere love, that's philos, that's brotherly love, that's the Greek word. Love one another deeply, that's agape love. I'm going to choose to do what's in your best interest, no matter how you respond to me. I'm going to choose to love you deeply from my heart. Why? Well, he goes, how do you love this way? Well, he says in verse 23, for you have been born again, not a perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living word, through the living and enduring word of God. You can love that way because you've been born again. You're spiritually alive. God's spirit lives in you. You have this imperishable seed of eternity in your heart. And not only that, but your brothers and sisters in Christ have this imperishable seed of eternity in their hearts. It was placed in them by the living God and by the living word of God. It was spoken into being by the command of God. And because of that, commit yourself to loving deeply, to seeing value, loving from the heart, loving each other from the heart. Sometimes that's not easy. People are people. Even Christians are people, right? I know Christians who I have a lot in common with. Fun to be around, hang around, conversations great. I know others who, well, I don't. But Peter's saying, because of what Jesus has done for you, he's put his imperishable seed inside of you. You've been born again. And what Jesus has done for your brothers and sisters in Christ, he has put his imperishable seed. They've been born again too. Then love deeply from the heart, even if you don't necessarily have an affinity to them. Is it wrong to hang around people who are easy to hang around with? No, that's cool. Is it wrong to exclude people just because you don't have stuff in common with them? Yes, it is wrong. Love deeply from the heart. Sometimes it's not easy. But here's what Peter goes on to say. Verse 24. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flower of the field. And the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word that was preached to you. Peter goes on to remind us, hey, yeah, I get it that people are people, and some people are more difficult to love than others, but you're temporary residents. You're like grass. It was green, goes brown, this world goes fast. Love deeply. Peter reminds us that life is short. Life of people around you are short. And because of the word of God that has been spoken into his people, and they have eternity written in their heart, they're valuable. Love them deeply from the heart. And you, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, rid yourself of all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander and of every kind. Notice these are all relational terms, right? And these are relational sins. Why? Because you're loving deeply from the heart. And if you're not loving deeply from the heart, what's going on? Well, it's usually my stuff. I like to say, well, you know, it's their stuff. But I've got to look at me first. Is there malice or deceit or hypocrisy or envy or slander? Is that going on in my heart? If you're going to agape love your brothers and sisters, then you have to deal with the darkness of your own heart. Forgive who you need to forgive. Die to your old nature. Deal with your dark side so that you can love sincerely. Then he says, instead, go in search of pure spiritual milk, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. Yeah, crave what feeds your heart and your love for Jesus. Crave what puts you in a place that allows you to take steps before God, because you're called to grow up into your salvation. Salvation is not only something that you receive when you are born again, but it's something that grows with you. And God's calling you to grow up in it. How about you? Do you live as if this life is all there is? It's really easy to do, especially if you have resources. But this home, this world is our temporary residence. Do you conduct yourself in a way that's holy, where you're set apart for God? Are you saying, God, I'm yours? Whether I'm watching TV or having coffee with a friend or engaged in work or whatever I'm doing, I'm yours. I want to do it for your glory. I want to do it for your honor. I want to love you. If you do, God will credit that to your account. Because when you're exclusively God's, when he has you in his hand and he says, yeah, you're mine. But whenever you say, I'm God's, but I'm just going to put that to the side and I'm just going to live for me. Wood, hay, stubble is what happens in your Christian life. God paid so much for your salvation to buy you back from the kingdom of darkness, to live for him. And you do that not only by what you're doing when you're alone, but especially when you're together. Love each other deeply from the heart. We've walked through this passage really quick, and I know there's a lot of content, and I appreciate you sticking with me. Thank you. I've seen you sticking with me. But I want to say this. Peter's just... he's summarizing how to live the Christian life, right? He's just saying, hey, be holy, be set apart for God. Know that God owns you. Yeah. Live for him and love each other. You know this, but sometimes I need to be reminded of it. I suspect you do too, right? Today, we have a wonderful opportunity. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And as we do, we're going to be reminded of how much God spent to purchase our salvation. And so I would invite you to bow your heads in prayer with me, please. Lord, thank you so much for your great love for us. Lord, we want to live for you. Help us to be holy in all we do, to live in a set apart way. Thank you for each person here. Lord, as I've been talking, I know that there's been thoughts flying all through what that means for me. Lord, I trust you with the ability to speak to each person's mind so that if they see ways where they have to ask, am I living for you or not? I ask, Lord, that you would show them, that you would walk them into the truth of how to live well in this world. Lord, we're foreigners here. We're citizens of heaven. Help us to live well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.